ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगना ललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपीश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभामे सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Is that an amplifier?
No, it's not.
Maybe there's some cushion or something. I get this rheumatic pain from sitting on cold floors. Yes. So, any asana? Small asana. Not this one. Hare Krishna. Everyone please say Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Krishna. So, I'll speak. Presumably you're all NRIs, is it? That phrase which is well known in India. NRI. Citizens of India. There are many countries in the world. How many of you have heard of Slovenia? Some, just for instance. Latvia? Yeah, you travel?
No,
you've heard of them, all right. They're just some of the places which Krishna sends me to. Mostly if I say, people in India ask me, where did you go? And I start to say, Slovakia, Slovenia, Latvia, they haven't heard. But haven't heard of these places. But more or less every educated person in the world has heard of India. Because Aapke Bharat Mahan, it's a great country. It's not a small country like Latvia, whose population is less than that of Baroda. Maybe, yeah? No, more than Baroda. Less than half of that of Ahmedabad. So India is a great country in size. Also India has many achievements. India, what should we say about India's achievements? They, in the Asian Games they win the kabaddi competition. And their cricket team wins sometimes. And, well, Indian products are exported all over the world. I remember as a child using a towel saying, made in India. And I thought, oh, it's come a long way. We're using this. India is the home of some of the world's greatest rivers, especially Ganges or Ganga is famous. All over the world people know Ganga. Somehow they never heard of Jamuna until Prabhupada came and told them. But Ganga or Ganges is very famous. But more or less throughout the world, India is considered a mystical or spiritual place. More than anything. And then of course, people think of the poverty. People think of India as very hot. It's more or less a hot country. People think of poverty. And in more recent years, people think, just the general impression that people have all around the world is a place of violence and riots and communal disharmony. These are general impressions people around the world have of India. Although, most of the time, if you go, you won't see any communal disharmony. It's just occasionally it flares up. So India is a great country, no doubt. And in Shastra, which is actually the great glory of India, which most people in the world don't know, and most Indians themselves don't know nowadays, that the Shastra, Ved Shastra, Ved, Purana, Mahabharata, Ramayana, or the Shastra, the whole dharmic culture. This is the real glory of India. And in Shastra it's stated that India, or Bharat, in the language of Shastra, this word India is not found in Shastra. Bharat is described as the most important place in the universe. And there it's described how, in Shastra it's described how on all the different planets there are living beings. The modern theory, now they're very anxious to spend billions of dollars to go to Mars to find out if there is life there. But we have information from Shastra that yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti kotishvasheshvasu tahadi vibhuti bhinnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam asheshru anantaru govindamadi purusham tamaham vajani. That there are innumerable planets in this universe and there are many other universes also. And each planet has its own specific atmosphere and characteristics. So that we just like, if some relative passes away, you put an advertisement in the newspaper, swag prapt, something like this. So what does that mean? They went to Swargaloka. Swargaloka is a planet in the universe where people who have acted very piously, which isn't very common in the modern age, they go there and they dance with apsaras, or they themselves become an apsara, and they drink soma ras for quite a long time, and then they come back down to this earth and again go on with what they were doing. So Swargaloka, Gandharvaloka, Charanaloka, Siddhaloka, Narakaloka, that's also there. There are so many different planets, but this earth planet, which is called Bharatavarsha, not just the land from Kanyakumari to Kashmir, but the whole of this planet was previously called Bharatavarsha. But specifically, more particularly, that area from Kanyakumari to Kashmir, that is considered the most important in the universe because it is the best place for spiritual realization, which is the actual purpose of life. The actual purpose of life is not to win the Asian Games Kabaddi contest or even to beat Pakistan in cricket. The aim of life is to get free from all these illusions of thinking that such things could at all be important and to understand our real spiritual purpose of life. So India's great glory is her spiritual life. Many persons such as myself have come from the Western countries to India, not for the chapatis, not for the dosa, and that's there also. Not for the chilies that you can get in the Western countries now also. Mirchi. But for the spiritual culture. This is the particular symptom of Bharat that we will not find anywhere else to the same degree. the intense spiritual culture. And even many of the Westerners who came to India, they recognized that. Even they themselves are preaching Christianity, but they recognize that the spiritual culture of India is very deep and very vast. There was later on, some of the missionaries, they made a campaign to blacken the, or to anti-propaganda against Indian religious culture. But the first people who came were impressed that everybody is so religious. And even today we find that that despite so much propaganda, beginning practically from Vivekananda, who was supposed to be religious, but he said many things which were actually, they cut at the roots of dharma and bhakti, just like saying Madhava Seva is Madhava Seva. So then the idea that we should serve Madhav became turned into some idea just to do welfare work for human beings. The essence of who is Madhav, who is the Supreme Person, that became lost by considering an ordinary person as Daridra Narayan. So practically the undermining of Indian spiritual culture began very seriously with some supposed sadhus, and continued very strongly after the so-called independence of India. Many, or most people in India in the years prior to 1947 considered the independence struggle to be a dharmic endeavor, with the idea that India has to be freed from the British so that we can execute our dharma. How can we be dharmic with the British on top of us? That's how it was presented by the Congress movement, by the Swaraja movement. Because if they had presented it, the Swaraj struggle, to be simply political, no one would have been interested. Because they didn't care, and people were more in anyway. British are here, and after some time they'll go, and we'll go also. So better to execute dharma and prepare ourselves for the next life. That was the Indian way of thinking. People didn't care that much who was ruling them. Because anyway they know life is temporary, and we have to go. We have to improve ourselves. We have to prepare ourselves for the next birth, or for no rebirth. So they presented it that this is a religious struggle, and people were thinking that after Indian independence that cow slaughter will be stopped and the dharma will be promoted. But instead, the first Prime Minister of India, he did a complete turnaround and said that India's problem is that we've had too much religion. And the temples of modern India will be the factories and dams and engineering projects. So, in this way, India became very materialistic, more and more. But even the, as I was saying, the first Christians who went there, they were astonished to find how deeply religious people were. Even, that must have been the end of the 19th century, one Christian missionary in a public address at Beedon Square in Calcutta. He said that the concept of tyag, of renunciation, is strongest in India. We won't find it in any other country in the world. There's so many people become sannyasis and vairagis and tyagis. He was impressed by that. That so many people, for the sake of developing higher consciousness, so many people, they leave their homes and live an extremely renounced life. So this, what we may call Hinduism, it is a great culture. We don't usually say Hinduism because it's not a very precise term. If we say Hinduism, then there are so many concepts in there: karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti. But if we examine them all, we'll find what is the greatest gift of Bharatiya Sanskriti. What is the best thing of all? Is it Tyaga? Is it Punya? Is it Sanskrit language? Is it Tirtha Yatra? What is the best thing about Hinduism or Vedic Dharma? If we examine, we'll find that the best thing of all, in the best place of all, the best spiritual contribution, in the most spiritual place of all, is Prem Dharma, which is the mature fruit of bhakti. When we say bhakti, most people think that bhakti means you do a little puja and you pray, God, give me more money. This is not bhakti. Bhakti means, yes, the mature fruit is prem. That means to give ourselves completely to God without any expectation of return. We say God, I was going to say Krishna, but then not everyone accepts Krishna as the supreme. But Krishna is supreme. One must be supreme. That one is Krishna. That is described in Shastra. That Krishna, He is supreme. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Purna Purushottam Bhagavan. We may consider, why is that? Then He must be the most powerful. Yes, but He is the most powerful, certainly. But He is the supreme personality of Godhead because only He can reciprocate prem with all jivas in the most complete way. Others, Kali, Durga, even Lord Shiva, different devas, Chandra, Vayu, Indra, they're not known for prem. They can give some material benediction. But Krishna gives prem. He Himself is the reservoir, premaspad. He is the reservoir of all transcendental love. And He can perfectly reciprocate that with everyone. And this is actually what everyone wants. People are praying for different things. Win a million dirhams or dollars or whatever. This advertisement is everywhere. What will you do with your million? What will you do? And people start to think and they start to become greedy. They're trying to increase our greed. This advertisement, what will you do with your million, is designed to extract money from us, not to give money to us. But it makes us greedy, and when we become greedy, then our intelligence becomes bewildered. So we can't think clearly. So, everything we're looking for money, happy family life, bigger TV, bigger dog, all these facilities we're looking for. Or when we become fed up of all these things, we look looking for moksha. But actually, in everything that we do, we're looking for prem. Because there's no happiness. You get $1 million, will it make you happy? Even if you get moksha, there's no prem in moksha. Moksha means simply we become so fed up of material life that we want to get away from it all. Moksha is like going to sleep, that's all. Nothing good in it, nothing good, nothing bad, just negation. But in everything that we do, we're actually looking for prem. But there's no prem in this material world. Prem means with Krishna only. So Krishna comes to this material world and He calls us. Why are we wasting our time here? Even there are so many Gyanis, Vairagis, so many spiritually minded people. But unless they attain prem, then simply to be a Tyagi, there's no great benefit. It means that one has seen this material world, everything in it is of no real consequence. But simply to give up the endeavor to enjoy this material world, that is not the perfection. The perfection is to find out where is that actual prem that our heart hankers for. But we're so far removed from that, that instead of what our real heart's desire is, which is love, love of Krishna, we're so far away from that, that we think, I need a million dirhams, or $1 million, or a new car, or a new apartment, or this, or that, or something, or I have to go to Swargaloka. So many desires. Hoya Maya Das Kori Nana Obhilash. When we become the servant of Maya, we have so many desires. But if we go to Krishna, we'll find that place where instead of running all over the world looking for this, looking for that, desiring this, desiring that, if we just go to Krishna, then we'll be fully satisfied. But we are thinking of so many other things. We don't even know what we really want. Because we don't know what we want, therefore the advertisements can attract us. Get this, get that, and you think, oh, maybe I need this, maybe I need that, I need a new car, I need a new house, I need this, I need that, I need perfume, I need gold, I need roses, I need so many things. But what we really, what is the thing that we really need to satisfy our heart? That is prem. And that is possible with Krishna. Prem means love of Krishna, Krishna prem. So there are many rishis, many pracharaks, many sadhus, many yogis, many saintly persons. And in the modern age, there are many cheetahs also, dressed as yogis, sadhus, swamis, pracharaks, yogis. Actually, in the modern age, there are more cheetahs, unfortunately. But if we examine neutrally, then we will find that love of Krishna, or actual love, that is our real need. And therefore, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, who has come again as his devotee, to tell us who is Krishna and how to love Krishna. He is the best well-wisher of all of us. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tushe Namaha. That same Krishna who came at the end of Dwarapa Yuga came again in golden form in this Kali Yuga and showed us what we really need, what we really want, which is love of Krishna. And how to achieve that, how to attain love of Krishna very easily by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So by chanting Hare Krishna, calling out to Krishna, we can jump over the achievements of the tyagis and the yogis. There's no need, actually, to become a great renunciate. That is good. To become a renunciate is vairagi, to give up the attempt to enjoy this material world. That is very good. But even better is to chant the holy names of Krishna, understanding that our real relationship is with Krishna. And simply to renounce this world is not an achievement in itself. Actually, we can't renounce it because it doesn't belong to us. If we try to renounce this world, that means we are thinking it belongs to me, but it doesn't belong to us. Everything belongs to Krishna. So if we can understand this, then we can live in any situation in this world, whether rich or poor or in between, whatever. According to our prarabdha karma, we are in different situations. Someone is rich, someone is poor, someone is healthy, someone is unhealthy, whatever. But having attained this rare human form of life, we should utilize that to find out what is the actual purpose of life. That is the special prerogative of birth in India. Any place in the world, everyone should think, what is the purpose of life? But especially this search for the transcendental has always been prominent in India. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us the topmost method of God realization, the topmost achievement, the topmost spiritual achievement, which is love of Krishna. He gave it very easily by chanting the holy name. So by chanting the holy names of Krishna and following some simple rules of pure life, sadhacha, which previously in most families in India, these rules were, they weren't even rules. It was just like you, does anyone have a rule in your family that you should eat? Is there any rule? No, you just do it naturally, isn't it? So similarly, these rules, that rules of sadhacha, no eating of meat, fish, eggs, all these things. That wasn't a rule. That was everyone was doing. They never considered. But they never considered doing otherwise. But now different propaganda, vegetarian eggs and all this kind of thing. So people have changed. But otherwise, people in India, when tea was first introduced, people didn't like to take. They thought, this is sinful. We cannot take this. But then the propaganda came, it's actually very good for health. It's not in the slightest bit good for health. There's no benefit for health whatsoever. Hare Krishna. It's good for filling up someone's pocket with some money. That's all. So by propaganda, people became changed. And so many items of Indian culture have been changed by propaganda. One thing, if the old culture was there, you wouldn't all be, all these ladies wouldn't be sitting like this, all men and ladies sitting together. There'd be a scream. Kick. You don't know what that used to be the system. Wouldn't be seen. I when I first was in India, that was late 1970s, any place I'd go, I wouldn't see any ladies. They wouldn't come on the street, and you go in the house and you just see the end of the sari. They'd be gone. So that culture has changed. So many things have changed. And it may not be possible to bring back that old culture in its full extent. But the essence of that culture, that Bharatiya Sanskriti, is meant for spiritual realization. So that spiritual realization is possible by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Spiritual realization, highest level, love of Krishna, that fully satisfies the heart. That is possible by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That is especially needed in this age when the culture is destroyed in all other ways. But by chanting Hare Krishna, we develop love of Krishna, which is the topmost perfection of life. Is that correct? You finding that out?
No.
That's your humility. So, I was asked to leave some time for questions. I've given a very general introduction of why we for our own benefit, why we should chant Hare Krishna and accept the gifts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that can fill up our empty hearts with love of Krishna. We may have full bank balance. But if our heart is empty, or if it's full of kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, then what is the use of having a million dirhams, $1 million? Better to have nothing in the bank, but full heart, overflowing. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift. Or you can have both also. If by prarabdha karma phal you have, this kind of situation is considered somewhat better than most. To live somewhere perched in midair with no, like a bird or something. With no land, it's only rented, I believe, is it? No ownership rights, but this is considered better. So, all right, if you consider it better, you can stay. We're not going to throw you out. Nor do we have any right to throw you out. But please chant Hare Krishna. So, I was asked to leave time for questions. That time has come.
We've been attending various sessions here, and I remember the previous time one of our Prabhus had come in here. We had a lot of questions and picked up, so I requested Maharaj to give some amount of time for the question answer session. So I request whoever has any questions, queries with regard to what we have dealt before, or specifically with regard to what Maharaj has dealt with today, please pick it up.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
The question is we are all quite new to Krishna consciousness. Mm. So we have, it's not very clear what is the spiritual world and what is material world.
Mm.
We are all lost. How does this happen? Because since our imagination is very closed, we can't think about how or where are we heading to a spiritual world? What do we get there in the spiritual world? Is it the relationships, husband and wife still possible?
Yeah, husband and wife can chant Hare Krishna and go to Krishna together. Yeah, the main thing is relationship. Loving relationship. When you got married, what did you hope for most of all?
To live happily
with your husband, yeah. So, in this material world, unfortunately, the loving relationships are limited at best. Because even if we have a loving relationship with our spouse, which is more and more uncommon in the modern age, because everyone is being trained in selfishness. So instead of the husband thinking how I can benefit the wife and the wife thinking how I can benefit the husband, everyone's thinking how I can get the most out of everyone else, and then no one's happy. So even if we do have a very nice relationship with our spouse, that is limited by time. It will be broken. But the relationship with Krishna and with all the other inhabitants of the spiritual world is full and complete beyond our imagination and is not limited by time because there's no death. So it's good to love your husband. We're not saying not to do so, but we should know that real love is the central point of that should be love of Krishna. If we make the center of our love how much money we have, or how big an apartment we have, then that relationship is very fragile because it's based on selfishness. So in the traditional Indian culture, or rather that is which is Shastra based, the wife is called Sahadharmini, Dharmapatni, with the idea that husband and wife, their relationship is not based on will you take me to Singapore for a holiday, but the relationship is based on daily executing all activities for the sake of Dharma. That makes a very strong bond. And Param Dharma is Prem Dharma, Krishna Bhakti. So yes, husband, wife, children, a whole apartment can go back to Kolkata. The whole of Dubai, everyone, the whole world. How important is Ekadashi during pregnancy? Observing Ekadashi. Don't fast fully. But you can take this anukalpa, means alternative foods. No grains, no beans. That means that there are different items, what's that called? Rajgir ki atta. There are so many different items. Yeah. But better not to fast fully. Take something.
In the Ekadashi, there are a lot of different ways everybody suggests. They say that you can have green leaves, like coriander or...
But I was just saying things like that, Rajgir ki atta.
We can add into it, you're saying it's okay.
That's quite solid. So pregnant ladies need to take some more nourishing food than just some leaves.
No, I mean, can add those leaves in it, because I've heard that you're not supposed to add anything.
Many people say many things, but the main thing, we shouldn't take grains or beans, and we should offer everything to Krishna.
Vegetables, everything is okay.
Vegetables, yeah. What is the aim of life? That's a very good question. Who asked this question? I was present, it must have been 1976, I think, when Prabhupada in London, he was asked this question in a darshan by Mike Robinson of the London Broadcasting Service or something like that, some radio company. And I was very surprised by Prabhupada's answer. Prabhupada said, the aim of life is to enjoy. But then Prabhupada went on to explain that everyone is looking for enjoyment, but in this material world we are always frustrated. But the fact that we're always looking for enjoyment suggests that it is the aim of life. But that we're always frustrated means that we don't know how to enjoy. So Prabhupada came to the Western world to teach us how to enjoy. How can we enjoy? By stopping thinking how I can enjoy and thinking how to make him enjoy. He's already enjoying, but we just have to join the group of those who are serving him to make him enjoy, and then automatically we enjoy. We're trying to enjoy in the wrong way. So that's a roundabout way of saying that the aim of life is to serve Krishna. We will be happy. Why was this world created? Hare Krishna. There must be a prison in Dubai, yeah? Isn't it? Somewhere in UAE. Is there one in every emirate? Is it? Abu Dhabi. Dubai. In every emirate there's a prison. So there's a prison in Dubai. Why? Seems like a silly question, but why? Alright, that's why this material world was created. Well, we are, actually, yeah. Because we're trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. Criminal means they're trying to enjoy by breaking the law, isn't it? So that's us. We're trying to enjoy without thinking how we should serve Krishna. So that way we become a criminal. And we may think, well, I'm not a criminal. If we are well behaved, then we can say we are well behaved criminals. In the prison there are some well behaved criminals. But we have broken the law. We are not engaged in the service of Krishna. So this is why this material world was created. But prison is not, the real purpose of the prison is not so much punishment as reformation. If there is only one truth, why do we fail to know it? We fail to know the truth because we deny it. Just like in the prison, the criminal, it's a very common thing. The criminal, it's quite clear that he's a criminal, but he'll deny it. It's all evidence. It's absolutely clear that he's a criminal, but he'll deny it. So we are in denial. We don't want to recognize that we are not the controllers, we are not the enjoyers, we are not the masters, we are very tiny, and we are servants of the Supreme. But we don't recognize that. That's the truth. The truth is not so difficult to understand. There is the Supreme Person. He is to be served by all. He is the source of all love. He is truth. We are very tiny living beings. We are meant for serving Him. It's not a very difficult thing to understand it. But if we deny it, then we can never understand it. We can never convince the criminal that he's wrong. Even if it's 100% clear, he'll say. I've known many people, just recently I heard one of the most dishonest people I ever met in my life speak to a group of people and say, everyone knows I'm an extremely honest person. And everyone knows he's extremely dishonest. But he's convinced himself against all evidence that he's honest. So it's like that. It's easy to understand the truth. We just have to accept it, that's all. How can chanting create or develop love for Krishna? Yeah, it's not creating love for Krishna, it develops. Because nipta siddha Krishna prem shadha kabunai shravanadi shuddha chitte kariye udoy. That love of Krishna is within our heart or our consciousness. It is our natural consciousness. Chanting develops that. Because chanting the name of Krishna means to come directly in contact with Krishna. So that reawakens our memory of Krishna. It's like amnesia. If someone gets in a car crash and they bang their head and they wake up and they forget everything. And his wife is standing there and say, oh, I'm so happy to see you. Can't remember anything. Well, usually if wife comes, someone very close, then they'll remember, but if he's just in the hospital and there's nothing to remind him of his identity, there's all nurses around him, he doesn't know them, he may completely forget who I am. But then you have to remind him, you see, this is your name, this is your job, this is your father. Do you remember so many years ago, this happened, that happened? Gradually remind him and the memory comes. So chanting Hare Krishna is like that. It's our natural propensity to love Krishna, but we've forgotten. So chanting Hare Krishna reminds us of Krishna. How to balance when our husbands do not believe in Krishna and we deeply want to, but we do not want to disturb our life with our husband and family. This is quite a complex situation. It's not uncommon. One has to be very tolerant. But everyone's situation is, this situation is not uncommon, but each person in that situation it's their own specific situation. It's a little different in every case. So basically one should be very tolerant, but exactly how to handle this situation in your own case, better to discuss in detail your situation with some more mature married couple devotees who can give advice relevant to your particular situation. Please do.
Why is the central focus on Krishna when there are, so you said that others may give material benefits, but if it's an avatar of Narayan, then why not?
When we say
so much as Krishna.
When we say Krishna, that means Ram, Nrsimha, Varaha, Kurma, Vamana, all the different avatars. But Krishna is known as Purna Purushottam. He is the original form of Godhead, and Krishna manifests complete loving relationships more even than other avatars. Just like some people, out of ignorance, they criticize Krishna for having so many wives and girlfriends, but not understanding that this is not mundane, this is completely transcendental. That is it's not like in this material world, if someone has many, many girlfriends out of mundane lust, but rather that is Krishna's manifestation of transcendental love, prema. So that he has many wives and apparent girlfriends means that he's open to accept any number of lovers, whereas Ram only accepts one. So this is not that Ram is less than Krishna in any material way, but rather that Krishna is the same Ram, but as Krishna, he opens up and expands the loving relationships unlimitedly with an unlimited number of devotees. That's why. Hare Krishna. Are we sad because of our own actions? We are sad, we are happy. Sukh and dukh come about due to our actions. When we know that something is unfair with us, should we leave it to God or speak for us?